June 30th marks the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we'd like to celebrate this milestone with you. You're invited to an open house at the studio and office of Lutheran Public Radio beginning Tuesday afternoon at 4 on June the 30th. Food, friendship, and fun. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. We hope to see you here in Collinsville, Illinois on Tuesday, June the 30th. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. I don't know how many sermons I have heard on this so-called Great Commission passage, Matthew 28, starting at verse 19, a couple verses there that have become almost as familiar in modern American Christianity as the old John 3:16 passage. And in some cases, it's odd to think that in some cases, Matthew 28, the so-called Great Commission, has supplanted John 3:16, literally as the center of how the church thinks about itself in the world. Is there a conflict between the mission of the church and the message that the church has been sent to proclaim? And what does the Great Commission really teach the church? We're going to be talking about the Great Commission. Pastor John Moe is our guest. You can join us as well on this Wednesday afternoon, the 24th of June, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor John Moe is pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Rosemount, Minnesota. He's author of an essay titled, What Makes a Christian? A Look at the Great Commission. Pastor Moe, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
You have written recently that the Great Commission, that famous passage from Matthew 28, has been made the center of doctrine for the church growth movement, and you say that's not a good thing. Why?
Well, I don't know that I've written exactly that, but the problem there, in my opinion, is that the Great Commission, that passage that you just referred to from Matthew 28, is mistranslated and misapplied, in my opinion. And making that the center of Christianity moves from Christ as its center to human activity. There's a, as I'm sure you're well aware, a Missouri Synod theologian that says all theology is Christology, and at bottom line, I think he's absolutely right. The corollary to that is all else is anthropology, and to put it bluntly, I think that's what's happened to the church with that emphasis on the Great Commission.
So how would you outline the way in which the Great Commission has been mistranslated, misinterpreted, and misapplied?
Well, first off, the obvious thing, or at least ought to be obvious for Lutherans, is that you can hear sermons and discussions. I think I heard a little bit of your introduction focusing on Matthew 28:19 over and over again, and no mention of the sacrament of holy baptism whatsoever. And it is, in fact, the sedis doctrina for the sacrament. It is there that we have the Trinitarian name, and plus it's the only passage in Scripture where the church is given the authority to baptize. That's just one thing.
Let's pause there for a moment. If we look at the Lutheran confessions, they treat Matthew 28 as, first of all, the institution of baptism with other passages,
right.
And they also treat it as the institution of the office of the ministry in some senses. When did it go from being that to being this kind of general job description for the Christian and for the church in general?
Well, I don't know that I'm qualified to give you a historical answer. I think the theological answer is with the Arminian theology of conversion, that becoming a Christian for a non-believer is a matter of human effort and human cooperation rather than entirely God's doing. back to the misapplication and mistranslation of Matthew 28. You always hear it quoted starting with verse 19, which is in mid-sentence. Christ begins, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then he commissions the church for its entire commission, if you will, all that it is to be doing. And although certainly the conversion of non-Christians to Christianity is implied there and indicated in baptizing them and teaching them, but it's the lifelong nurturing of God's people in word and sacrament, baptizing and teaching, that he's talking about. He gives the church that authority and concludes by the promise of his presence in that effort. I'm with you always to the end of the age.
Okay, then let's talk about something you just mentioned, and that is, if it begins with the authority that Christ has been given by virtue of his saving work for us, if we don't, and you said the problem is with this doctrine of conversion that is essentially centered on man's will, man's activity, what is the biblical understanding of conversion, therefore also a better and biblical understanding of Matthew 28, the Great Commission?
Well, the biblical understanding is that it is entirely God's doing. You were dead in trespasses and sins, says Paul in Ephesians, excuse me. And dead folks don't make decisions or efforts. The conversion of the individual is entirely the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. Repeatedly throughout the Scriptures, it's indicated that the work of new creation, creating a new man, is God's work. It is a miracle of God, like the creation itself.
But aren't the principles of the so-called church growth movement wedded entirely to a more anthropocentric, man-centered thinking about conversion?
Absolutely, it's driven in its understanding of the business of the church is purely marketing. You present your product in a way that makes it attractive enough to the individual that they want to buy in, and that's in their view what it takes. Problem with that is man does not accept the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2:14. There's an interesting quote by C.S. Lewis in this context that I find interesting, where he's talking about the difference between the time when the apostles were preaching and the church in his day, which was mid-20th century. And he says back in that day, the apostles could count on an audience that understood, had a consciousness of deserving the divine anger. It was against this background that the gospel appeared as good news. It brought news of possible healing to men who knew that they were mortally ill. But all this has changed. Christianity now has to preach the diagnosis itself, very bad news, before it can win a hearing for the cure.
Then because we've been told for decades now, Pastor Mo, that evangelism is ultimately the art of persuasion. You said marketing.
Yep.
You're trying to wrestle with another person's will, essentially, and even if you do it in the nicest and kindest way, you're simply trying to persuade them to exercise that will that they apparently have to make a decision for or give their life to God, to Jesus
yep.
Christ. If that's not what evangelism is, what is it really according to Scripture?
Well, it's what Jesus says to the disciples the night of his resurrection in Luke chapter 24, pointing to the Old Testament, pointing out the Old Testament foretold that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and die and rise again on the third day, and for repentance and forgiveness of sin to be preached in his name to the whole world. That's what evangelism is. It's the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sin.
Does it surprise you, with about a minute here before our first break, does it surprise you that bent upon the more man-centered view or misinterpretation of Matthew 28, the church growth movement has, with every passing year, put less and less emphasis on the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name?
Absolutely. You can't delight your clientele and please your hearer by telling them that they're a damned sinner without hope apart from the bloody crucifixion of God's Son. That's not an attractive message to the human psyche, if you will, to the natural man.
Pastor John Moe is our guest. We're talking about the Great Commission. He's pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Rosemount, Minnesota, author of an essay titled, What Makes a Christian? A Look at the Great Commission. Well, if it's God alone who makes the Christian, then we must not be interpreting this command of Christ to go make disciples as though it were our part. He's done his part, now it's time to do our part, and yet this is what we hear again and again and again, especially from church leaders, that Christ has done everything he can do, and now it's time for us to do our part, and the onus is laid entirely upon us to go out and somehow through our persuasions, our methods, our ability, oh yes, always with the help of this Holy Spirit, that's a little footnote tossed in there, to do what Christ has commanded us to do. Maybe we should start thinking of the Great Commission not as something that Christ gave to us, but as something Christ does through us. You can read the paper that we're working from called What Makes a Christian? A Look at the Great Commission by Pastor John Moe at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Harold Carner, Alex Webster, Nicholas Grunwald, James Boudreau, Jeffrey Wheelert, Les DeLaybe, Jim Sieving, David Buchenberg, Jody Manley, and Angela Lee. Thanks for your support.
Getting the message straight, getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Promote, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor John Moe is our guest. We're talking about the Great Commission. We'll respond to your questions and your comments on that subject. Our phone number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our email address on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 24th, talkback@issuesetc.org. Steve is calling from Minnesota. Steve, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin and Pastor Moe. I have a question concerning this misuse of Matthew 28 and how it might possibly apply or work with our Lutheran understanding of the doctrine of election.
Okay, what is it?
Well, exactly that, this idea that the church, as you had said right before break, we have to go and do our part, as if to say that God's elect are only elect if I get out there and convert them in the next 5 or so minutes, otherwise they might miss their chance to be in the kingdom of heaven.
Very interesting. Thank you very much, Stephen. Thanks for listening in Minnesota. What do you make of it, Pastor Mo?
Well, I think I lost my train of thought here.
He asked the question as to whether or not we fail to understand what the Bible truly teaches about a divine election if we put the onus upon ourselves to go out and make the sale, so to speak, evangelistically, urgently, lest people somehow miss their opportunity.
Yeah, I think the problem here isn't that I heard a distinction made as if the Great Commission wasn't about our part. Where the problem comes in is what our part is. Our part is the faithful proclamation of repentance and forgiveness of sin in the name of Christ, and the conversion of people is the work of the Holy Spirit working through the Word. And so, once again, where we run into trouble is when we think that we are responsible for the results rather than for the faithful proclamation of the Word. And that sort of thing drives the whole church growth movement. You know, you have to set measurable goals and so on. All the good sales techniques are brought to bear. And the whole idea, the whole focus is on results. When that's up to the Holy Spirit, it's our faithful proclamation of the Word is our responsibility.
Paul in O'Fallon, Illinois, sends us this email. I think the work of the church is akin to Jesus' parable of the seed sower. In Christ's stead, we sow the seed, fleshed in Matthew 28, baptizing and teaching, he says, and the Holy Spirit is responsible for the growth. We don't win the lost. God does through the use of our hands, mouths, etc. Your thoughts?
Well said. If you got time for one more quick quote, this is from an old Norwegian named Fredrik Wisloff, who produced a little devotional booklet called Rest a While, translated from Norwegian into English in the 50s. He has this to say on 1 Corinthians 3:7, God gives the increase. He says, what wonderful comfort these words contain. We've all been given a small place in God's orchard. There we are to plant, water, labor, and be on the alert. God, however, gives the increase. It is required of you that you be faithful. That is your responsibility. In the day of reckoning, he will not ask you concerning the results. In that day, the question will be whether you have been faithful. Alas, this responsibility is heavy enough. But it would be even heavier, yes, in many instances, more than I could bear, if I should be held accountable for the results. If the results are meager, I must indeed humbly examine myself and my work as in God's presence. But if I can find no deceit or unfaithfulness, I may confidently continue, for the results of the work are in God's hands. He gives the increase. I have time to wait. I trust in Him. My responsibility is to be faithful. The growth and the fruits are His concern. Don't know that I've ever heard it put more clearly and better and more comforting.
We are told that churches that are able to show tangible results numerically must, by definition, be doing something right and must, by definition, be doing the Great Commission the way Christ really intended for it to be done, whereas churches that may not show numerical growth must, in some sense, be, they may be faithful, but they're just not doing it right. How do we respond to that?
Well, it goes back to the basic understanding once again of who's responsible for the results. Yeah, they're doing something right. If they're growing like crazy, they're marketing their product well. They may be using a little few bait and switch tactics, refusing to declare who in fact they are to the public. Whatever it is, you know, the tactics of the market will bring people in. You can conduct a successful business, bring people in, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're faithfully doing what Christ intended. In other words, preaching repentance and the forgiveness of sin.
One of the things, coming back to the sacraments, the preaching and the sacraments that you've emphasized so well here, Pastor Mo, you say that it's important that we understand grammatically in the Great Commission that those two words, baptizing and teaching, are participles. They, in a sense, tell us what it is meant in the command, make disciples. Unpack that for us with a few minutes here.
Well, first off, the word is not make disciples. That translation comes in relatively modern times with the man-centered focus on this passage. Literally, it is disciple, and that's the imperative to say it grammatically. And then the participles, baptizing and teaching, are the how you do it, if you will. And the rest of the passage is usually poorly translated, I would say mistranslated as well. Tereo, the Greek word that literally means keep, is translated obey. And then entelomai, which is almost without exception translated command, and it has that concept in the Greek, but it is command with the authority to do. It's the instructions and it carries the authority with it. It's like your orders for the military. You don't transfer from one place to another without the orders that tell you what to do and give you the authority to do it. And so I would translate it, go therefore, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to keep everything I have commissioned you. Incidentally, well, that's a whole side issue, and I'll leave that for now.
Well, okay, then finally, what is the danger of misapplying the Great Commission passages from Matthew 28? What is the greatest danger here that we face with 1 minute?
Well, the danger is we move from Christ, the focus on Christ, to the focus on us. That's the most serious danger you can have anywhere. And then once again, we're back to Dr. Scares, all theology is Christology.
What does it tell you that even our own Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod is able to kind of craft a quote-unquote evangelism program that puts very little, if any, emphasis on baptism?
Well, every evangelism program that I've seen the Missouri Synod adapt and adopt in my history, 40 years as a layman and 27 years in the ministry, is always borrowed from evangelical Christianity, borrowed, slightly altered to supposedly Lutheranize it, but its basis is always man-centered, and its basis is always the idea that we make disciples, not the Holy Spirit makes disciples.
Pastor John Mo is pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Rosemount, Minnesota. Pastor Mo, thank you and the congregation there at St. John's in Rosemount, Minnesota, for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We deeply appreciate you and congregations like the one you serve.
Thank you, Todd.
Pastor Mo is also author of an essay titled, What Makes a Christian? A Look at the Great Commission. Who makes a Christian? Only God makes a Christian. Only God can make a Christian, and he does it through his church. And what makes the church? The church is made by the faithful proclamation of Christ crucified for sinners and the faithful administration of the gifts that Christ gave to his church to be the church in the world and to disciple all nations, baptizing and teaching. What makes a Christian is what makes the church. There's no difference there. if the church is the church, it is faithful to Christ's proclamation, and therefore it is discipling all nations wherever it may be. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is the Lutheran Study Bible. Find out more about it at our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. It's right there at the homepage. Or call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about this great resource that's coming out in the fall, the Lutheran Study Bible. 1-800-325-3040 is their toll-free number. 1-800-325-3040. The Lutheran Study Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. When we come back in hour two of the program, our Issues Etc. comment line, Father Daryl Fenton will join us to talk about a new Anglican province in North America, and we'll talk about reality TV and John and Kate Plus 8 with Colleen Carroll Campbell.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.